Yes, indeed. Okay, time for another Radio Fishing, and you got Fishing Frank here. And in the guest seat, in the hot spot, in the place you just don't want to be, is the fish coach, Josh. He is a fishing coach guy. I'm assuming fishing coach.
Fishing says, coach, yeah.
It says fish coach.
It does say fish coach, and part of the reason for that, was...
Is that like something you take over to the saloon or out to the corral, the fish coach?
If you want to, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can do that. Absolutely.
Drawn by four dolphins as they swim along in your fish coach.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fishing coach works also. I'll respond to either one of those things, but it's...
I fishing coach! Hello!
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay.
It's fish coach, mostly because fishingcoach.net was already taken, and so I didn't want to call myself the fishing coach. That's some other dude. So I'm the fish coach.
Okay. .net. And, well, you can click the little blue logo over there right next to where you click to listen to the show.
And
it'll take you right to the site.
You see what I did there?
I did.
.net.
.net.
You get that?
Oh, yeah. Play on words. Pun. Pun. All right. Oh, God. Anybody got an antacid? All right. Now, we are doing a show here partially to promote Josh's new business here on the side, going out with people and teaching them to fish in a boat. But you also, something we were talking about, and I'm learning about the business. I was just on your site and learning about what you're doing. But you also go, like, with people to pier or even in their backyard or whatever.
In their backyards, in their homes. You know, part of this
you're
actually...
casting lures in their homes?
Well, I wouldn't suggest that we do that. But there are some things that they can learn. Things like, for example, not
like
tying.
Not to cast lures in the home.
Don't cast lures in your house.
That's the first thing Josh is going to teach you. No, throwing the lure in the house is not good.
Well, actually, generally, their wives teach them that. So, okay. After the first cast. But this actually started, it's partly your fault, if you want to get right down to it.
Most things are. Name me four things that aren't my fault. Lately.
So, I've been working here at Fish and Frank's one day a week for a while. And in the course of that, I've rediscovered, a love for teaching people things. I always knew that I had that. I had actually considered teaching as a career and then decided not to. But in the shop here, one of the things that makes Fish and Frank so unique is the time that we take to teach people, to spend with them, to show them on a map, to show them, you know, how to tie a knot, to teach them how to work a lure, that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, some people are a little... uncomfortable about doing that in a public place where people can see them.
I think the hardest thing for people is they come down and they say, where can I go take a class? Well, what do you want to know? Well, I need to know how to tie knots and do this. I say, well, here, just talk to this guy a while. He'll help you with everything. And classes are good for general information, but they're not good for really learning stuff.
Right.
Getting in a group with a lot of other people might make you feel more comfortable, but you're not really going to learn because it's too broad-based, too generalized. You need personal instruction when you're trying to tie a knot, how to rig this up, how to put a hook in the soft plastic, how to put your bait on the hook, all that kind of stuff. It's better if it's one-on-one, you know, time spent. And that's what we do in the store, and now that's what you're starting a side business as.
It's going to be some of what I'll be doing out there with the folks who are not comfortable with being in that public setting and doing that, which I totally get. You know, when I was a kid, and I'll tell you this, but you have to promise not to tell anybody else.
Don't worry. Luckily, nobody listens to this. There's only like 4,000 or 5,000 people, but they're very trustworthy.
All right, I'll just ignore that part, and I'll tell you anyway. When I was in kindergarten, and I don't remember this, but my mom will tell you this story if you ever meet her. I went up to the kindergarten teacher one day during recess, and I asked her if I could please slide in private.
Slide in private?
Yeah, I really wanted to enjoy the slide, but I didn't want to enjoy the slide with all those other kids around watching me enjoy the slide. I wanted to do that in private. I just wanted to have some alone time with the slide. So,
I have a couple of things in my life where I really like a little privacy for it, but
sliding on the slide never
really came up as part of that. But,
well,
you know, I've known you long enough. I get it.
So, for the people who like to learn in private, then this is now an option for you. And, yeah, I mean, going out on people's boats and teaching them stuff is...
I think I have been the worst thing for your introvert introvertism.
Well, I'm not really introverted. Is the thing. I'm just antisocial.
Yeah, but I'm like the worst possible thing that ever happened to your antisocial things because, you know, you come into my office one day and all of a sudden you made the mistake of singing along with a bit of a song and now you're like lead vocalist. You know,
I'm
one of
definitely
the two
not
main
singing on this show.
Lead vocalist for our musical group that gets together. And isn't that sound like a nice old person saying our musical group?
Yeah, I was going to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, baby, hi, come on, man. No, hang on now.
Let's play some of that rock and roll, Frank. Yeah, let's do that. All right.
God. What's wrong with me? I can't believe I can't believe I talked that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I
feel like I'm supposed to be in. No, never mind. Okay.
I've found the best thing when that happens is to just let you go until you run out of steam. So.
Got it.
So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that this is partly your fault that this has happened to me. It really ultimately comes back to you.
Well,
thanks.
I've always. People around here will tell you I'm usually not the match and I'm not the dynamite, but I'm definitely usually the wick that joins the two of them together.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, fishing out there should be catastrophic. Should be
with all that red tide that we've had around here. It should be,
you know, but I'm still getting reports and it's about 50-50. One guy goes out, he can't find any fish anywhere, and everything's horrible. And another guy goes out, and boom, they're finding fish. Now, I have to say that I would have never guessed the ICW up along Gasparilla Sound to have any kind of live fish in it after what we've gone through. But Carl was out there, and they hit a ball.
Yeah, yeah, and there have been a lot of fish out there. You know, I've been getting a lot of fishing reports from Lemon Bay, the Placida area. Stump Pass, places where it was really, really bad with red tide just a few weeks ago, now are the hot spots to go.
And we just had a request from one of the fishing clubs for one of their captains to come up, and he's going to do a talk about places to go when there's red tide. How to avoid, you know, places where you can get away from red tide. Because usually if you get up to Myakka, the Peace River, some of the other creeks and stuff, you can kind of avoid the red tide. Usually at this end of the harbor, we're safe. This is the first time that I ever remember having a fish kill like this up here. This is a brand new experience for me in the Port Charlotte canals and all this. We've had
everybody's saying that
one minor one back in the early 2000s, but it was a real, you know, quick kiss and gone. The river killed
right.
it. As soon as it came in with a southwest wind and a long incoming tide, and it was there. And as soon as the tide turned, it was just killed. The fresh water wiped it out. But this one just lasted for days. And I think the big weird effect of this was all the mullet were bunching up in the cold weather. That's why we have so many tens of, you know, thousands upon thousands of dead
because
mullet.
Because it's bad timing because the mullet have to run. You know, when they get that signal that, okay, it's time to dump out of the canals now and time to go do the spawn thing, that's when it happens. Doesn't matter if there's red tide out there in the water. Nature says go, and they go, and they
and
run
so
right into it.
You'd have, you know, thousands of pounds of mullet trying to go out to go do the spawning thing, and they hit the ends of these canals and just boom, it was
yeah.
over.
Yeah, it's been a horrible mess. And you know, I was so hopeful for our mullet because we had a late spawn last year, and a lot of the mullet netters that net during the month of December didn't bother to come back down here in January when the mullet actually started running
right.
because that's their Christmas money, and they were like, well, you know, I didn't plan for this. I got my other job that I got to do in January. So the mullet spawned and had a really good spawn last year. They weren't nearly as harassed.
And we had a huge mullet population, you know, increasing this year.
Yep.
And now I can safely say, guys, if you're coming here to mullet fish this year or next year, don't bother.
Yeah. Go to Tampa.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah. Because this is not going to be it.
Nope.
This was large and efficient on the mullet kills. I mean, I'm watching them back in PGI back there, literally with landing nets trying to scoop them up. The smell is so bad in some of the canals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just filling garbage bags after garbage bag after garbage bags.
And that's a real shame. I mean, and I hate to see all that mullet coming out of the system because, usually when we have a red tide event like this, all those dead fish end up feeding a lot of shrimp, a lot of crabs. We end up with a banner year for those the next year. And a lot of those things in the canals could have benefited, but I guess people don't want to have a bunch of dead fish in their backyard.
Well, they're not,
I suppose,
get
I can understand
they're
that.
They're not going to get them all.
No, they won't. A lot of them are already up in the mangroves and out of the way where nobody's going to reach them. So let's hope that we have a good shrimp and crab year next year, since we're
and
probably not going to have a good mullet year.
They're only doing the ones in the canals. There's so many spread out across everywhere. But now that we've gone through all that gloom, doom, and horror, there is actually some fish to be caught. We're hearing fish up in the Peace River, in the Myakka River. Hog Island's doing really good. The Intercoastal, as weird as that is, good fishing out through there. Have you heard anything down by Pine Island Sound or anything in there?
You know, I'm good buds with Jesse down at Old Pine Island Marina, and he said that they had some red tide up around the Boquilla area and a little bit down as far as about Patricio, but the southern end of the Pine Island Sound has been clean all along. They haven't really had any fish kills down there. They had a little fish kill in Matt Lachey about the same time that we started seeing dead fish at Burnt Store a few weeks ago.
Right.
And that's been it. There's been nothing else down there. So the Caloosahatchee area has actually been real good.
Yeah, now I'm hearing about a little bit south of the Caloosahatchee, but, you know, I've got to get my next update. But so it's still surprising to me that there are fish out there. I guess the big thing would be they don't actually live here. They come and go.
Yeah.
Like the trout don't live here. They show up.
Unlike the fishermen who are after them, the fish know all the places to be.
Right.
So, you know, if we learned spots like the fish learned spots, holy crap, we'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Because those fish always have a plan of where to go, a backup plan for that, a backup plan for that, a backup plan for that, ad infinitum. Well, some of them are just unlucky.
Yeah, some of them get unlucky.
I'm sure they had a plan, they just didn't get to implement it.
It's just been a weird thing, but going to deep water, safe haven for fish during a red tide, for the most part, because the red tide tends to float more. And unless you have a lot of wind and stirring it up, a lot of agitation in the water, it really only is in the first few feet. Problem is a lot of our water back here, especially once you get on the flats, is only 2-3 feet deep. So it's
right,
top to bottom.
Nowhere to go.
But if they're out in that 15-20 feet of water, 12 feet of water, a lot of times they can get away from it. Same thing now in PGI, there was a lot of fish survived because they were down by the bottom. It was the fish that were up higher in the water columns or in the shallower places of the canals that actually ended up getting affected by it.
No.
But I'm going to be kind of interested to hear what's going on in PGI over the course of the next few weeks with the snook lights and all that, good indicator of what fish are around.
Yeah, it'll definitely be very informative to see what's on those lights. And
so,
I got a couple backyards I got to check out.
Getting back to what you're doing, what would be the... What's the first question people usually ask?
About fish coaching?
Yes, about fish coaching. I'm staying on topic.
Are you a charter captain? Is usually the first question that people ask. And the answer to that is no, I am not a charter captain. It's not what I really want to do here. What I'm trying to do is provide education, trying to provide the background education. Yeah, we might go out, and while we're learning how to fish areas, while we're learning how to use lures, while we're learning about techniques, we might catch a whole bunch of fish, but we also might not.
And I was telling some people today, we were talking about this, and they were talking about having somebody go on the boat with them, an instructor, and they said, oh, yeah, well, I'll let them drive, and I'll do this, and I said, that's not the way to look at this. Because
no, not at all.
If you drive your car somewhere and then come back, and you want to go back to that spot, chances are you can drive back there. You remember the way to go. But if you're the passenger in the car, and you go somewhere and come back, very little chance you're ever going to find your way back there.
Right.
You know, you just don't pay attention unless you're actually the one driving. And a fishing instructor does not drive the boat, does not operate the boat. He's there just to show you how to tie knots, help you with your casting, doing the different rigs, how to work a lure. It's strictly in teaching the fishing part of it, not in operation of the boat or anything like that.
Right, and that's a huge difference between what a fish coach does and what a charter captain will do. And, you know, there's a bunch of us who provide education experiences. Part of the reason that I chose to go down this particular path is that I've talked with some folks who have had educational trips with some of our local charter captains and said that they didn't really get the learning that they thought they were going to get. They did great with teaching them spots, how to get in and out of places, that kind of stuff. But when it came to the basic nuts and bolts of fishing, how to work that lure, why we choose this particular lure, why we're using this particular bait, why we rig it this particular way, they just didn't get the level of instruction that they thought they would. And they're having difficulty going out and replicating the success they had with the captains. So I started talking with some of the charter guys, most of whom will do those educational trips. And the overall impression that I came away with was they like doing educational trips, but they feel like if they're not catching a bunch of fish, they're not doing their job. So they fall back into charter captain mode when they're doing these educational trips, which is, we have to go catch a bunch of fish. That's what it's about. I'm not going to, you know, have properly served you as a charter captain if we don't catch a bunch of fish. So the education kind of takes a back seat to that. And in this case, it's going to be exactly the opposite. The education is the whole point. The fish are a bonus. The fish are gravy. I mean, if you want to go out there and catch a bunch of fish, you know, I got charter captain buddies who can take you out and catch you a bunch of fish. I mean, if you go to my website, there's a bunch of links to their websites. You know, those are the guys who will go out and catch you a bunch of fish. That's right. Not what I'm here to do. That's not the plan.
I just added a thing. I'm actually put your name on the Fish Coach little logo thing there.
You're a peach.
Yes. It just staggers me when I actually remember to do stuff.
Not just remember to do it, but then remember how.
Yeah. If I can remember to, I can usually remember how to, but it's not always that, you know, simple. So let me see. I'm going to see how it looks here. Actually, it doesn't look bad. I just put it in white. Okay. So that's actually pretty good.
All right. That'll work.
Automatically repopulated itself when I did that.
Oh, hey.
That was weird.
That's fancy.
Yeah, but I lost the hyperlink. Now I've got to redo the hyperlink.
Well, I don't know what you're doing over there.
Okay,
you're
I got
way
it.
Way over on the other side of these monitors. I can barely see you.
Yes, well, it's not like, you know, your professional run studios, you know.
Hey, speaking of your studio, we had a customer come in earlier tonight, and he happened to be walking by the Sabiki rigs, and he caught a peek in through the door and saw the microphones, and he came back over to me, and he said, is that where they do the radio fishing? And I said, yeah, that's where they do the radio fishing. Wow, those microphones right there, that's where they do the radio fishing? And I said, yeah, it is. And he's like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I'm not a big believer that I'm that awesome. I'm a big believer that I do enjoy it. And the only thing that does keep me here, because it ain't the money, I can tell you that. Yeah, I could be doing it. I enjoy teaching people. You know, that's why I have all these extra people on the floor. It's really, it's so much fun when you're in with people and you're teaching them what to do and how to do it. And then they go out and they get fish and they come back and they got all the stories and they're just, you know, it's just it's an amazing experience. So, and as you know.
Yeah, and I'm over here chasing the same thing.
You've become a big part of all this. It's such a different way to go. But let's try and give them a little actual fishing information. Now, from everything I'm hearing, shrimp is doing very well for bait. Pinfish is doing pretty good. And I would have bet there was no pinfish left out there. But there does seem to be some pinfish left.
There are pinfish aplenty. It doesn't seem like our inshore pinfish got hit that hard. I don't know why. But when it's out on the beach, it just wrecks those pinfish. And here on the inside, it doesn't seem to have done them too bad.
Yeah, for some reason, a lot of them survive. So there is pinfish to be caught. Most of the time, if you're on the flats, I'm going to suggest pinfish and you're under a float or on a jig head, but not free-lined. They don't seem to be doing as well with the free-line. Either pegged in one spot, so they're making a lot of ruckus banging on the bottom, or hooked under the dorsal fin so that they can just drag that bobber and swim with it.
Right. Yeah, and I never like free-lined pinfish inshore unless you're casting specifically to a spot where you think there's a fish waiting for that bait, because they just want to hide.
Yeah, they wrap around the first rock. They're great bait, and the only difference between the reason why white bait actually catches more fish a lot of times than pinfish is because their instinct to escape a predator is to jump out of the water. They try and stay in the upper part of the water column, where a pinfish, first thing wants to run to the bottom and hide at the first weed or rock he can find.
Yep, behind those mangrove roots, that's where he's going.
Yeah, so, but on the east side of the harbor, we do have some trout over there. It's intermittent yet, but there is some. I would almost think that putting a Storm Twitch, maybe an X Wrap or a Rattle Trap out, and just trolling the outside of the bar until you hit a fish.
I would think that would probably be effective. But then once you hit that fish, I would switch over to something that has a single hook.
Yeah.
So many of our trout that are out there are undersized. If you're out there trying to keep
now,
fish...
the highest mortality rate is not with a single hook. A jig has a much higher mortality rate than a doubled hook lure. Two treble hooks on a lure does not have the same mortality rate as a single hook jig. True.
Okay. The main reason that I switch over
by
to...
almost 15%.
Part of the reason that I switch over to a single is that I don't want to hook myself.
All right, but
which is gonna
you can
happen
use the new Rapala lures for casting that are single hook front and back, and they
right.
don't have, they have even less mortality rate than the double hook, double treble hook lures. But the jigs, and the only reason I think the jigs have a higher mortality rate is they tend to be swallowed more.
Right, because they're so much smaller, they're easy to get down.
Easier to get down.
You're dealing with a fish, in the case of small trout especially, the tightly schooling fish, they compete very heavily for food.
I would say get an X-Wrap, take either the VMC or the owner single hook replacements for the treble and do it on the back. Pinch the barbs down, flatten them on the front treble hook, and then replace the rear treble hook with the single, and you're going to have the best of all worlds for as far as the catch and release, because they don't seem to swallow them, and with the single hook, it's easier release, no barbs on the hook, less damage. It is the best of all worlds when I would have thought the single hook jigs were way better. Did a lot of research. I spent like 6 hours one day trying to find out about mortality rates and all that other stuff. Shocked me to think that a lure with two treble hooks had a better survival rate than the single hook jig.
Right. But it really does make sense if you think about it. I mean, with redfish also, we got a lot of smaller redfish out there. Most of the bigger ones have left
for
the season.
Which is the only species of fish in the world that can literally hit the hook and at the same time swallow it, digest it, and have it coming out the other end before you can set the hook.
Yep. Which does make setting the hook a lot easier. I'll
yeah.
grant you that.
Yeah, it's already coming out the other end. You know? I was shocked by how, when I was first learning little redfish like that, that was one of the surprising things. It's one of the few I do use circle hooks for, and I do use pieces of shrimp more than live shrimp.
Yeah,
more
and
fish.
Circle hooks have been such a godsend for those little fish. I mean, if you've ever fished those little redfish, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. So many of those fish end up throat hooked or even deeper than that, and it's horrible to try to get the hooks out of
them. We have
the
that
circles.
One
it's
fish
great.
Hook remover that's absolutely amazing though for that. And but under if I'm using a bobber, I use Kaylee hooks. I don't use the circle hooks because they're not as effective. They're too hard to get out of the fish. I do a lot of damage trying to get those hooks out because they have to roll out, and you have the head of the fish there.
Right.
So
well, and
the
with
Kaylee
the circle
hooks
hook,
are actually better.
With the circle hooks, I'll take those barbs off just as quick as I'll take the barbs off anything else. And a circle hook that's been debarbed is actually, it will hold a lot better than a J hook that's been debarbed because it has to rotate in.
Yeah, but I'm just never been a circle hook fan. I think the Kaylee hooks are actually much more effective and do a better job, and they never gut hook. They're much better on that, and you can get them out of the fish. The wide gap Kaylee hooks.
Right. Yep.
I think they actually are better. But that's a discussion for, you know, that I think that's kind of personal preference, but I like setting the hook. I mean, my dad stood behind me, set the hook, and bam, in the back of the head, you know.
Right.
What do you mean you missed the fish? Bam.
Yep. And if that's the mentality that you've got, then you feel like you're not really fishing if you're not setting the hook. You've got to do that. That's just a part of catching that fish.
Exactly.
And if you try to do it with circle hooks, guess what? You ain't catching too many.
So, you know, it's just one of those things. But there's a lot of smaller redfish around. Now, right just south Alligator Creek and towards the mouth of that, as you get down on the east side, if there's any water, you can get into some of those creeks. There's a lot of small redfish there. But as you go down the bar in Pirate Harbor, you hearing any trout stories down there, anything else around?
It hasn't really been any different than anything else that I've heard. I'm hearing trout down there, but it's the same kind of thing. It's a lot of little fish and a handful of bigger ones, but
yeah.
The numbers have been good. I mean, as long as there's not active red tide killing fish in the area, as long as you have grass flats in that roughly 2 to 4 feet of water, the trout reports have been awesome.
Oh, that's good. All right.
As long as you're, when I say awesome, I'm talking about numbers.
Right. So. Now, Up by I-75, I'm getting a few reports of silver trout, a few spotted trout. In the mornings out in front of Harbor Heights in the big part of the river, there's actually quite a good trout population out there. But I don't have any reports of the Mayaca or down south. I don't know how the fish are going down there.
Well, I haven't heard anything about the Mayaca either, but down south towards, how far down do you want to go? Matt Lachey, Pine Island?
St. James City, Pine Island, San
Diego. They've been seeing more of the bigger fish that we've been missing up here. And it's been a good bite on the type of plugs that you were talking about. Lipped plugs have been fantastic down there. It seems like the lighter colors that we usually expect to be awesome trout baits, you know, any jig is right as long as it's white for fishing trout, right? Well, they've been using darker and brighter colors. I've had some good reports on hot pink, hot orange type colors. It seems like that's what they're going for. They're kind of not paying attention to stuff that's a more natural, neutral tone. They want something that's either dark or has a lot of intensity to it.
Yeah, my favorite rattle trap for snook fishing around the bridges, the crawdad colors.
Yeah?
The orange.
Yeah.
Orange and red for snook around the bridges. Nobody will believe me. They won't buy them. But, you know, they'll go to the silver and black or whatever and then tell me, well, they can't catch snook when they don't work.
Right.
But when I try to show them the orange ones and the red ones, this is what I use. I have pictures of me and Terry and, I mean, all these people with snook that were caught on that crawdad colors and all that of the rattle traps.
Yeah,
but they won't believe it.
We know those were all caught on chrome with black back, and you photoshopped that crawdad color in there. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, like I
Come
can
on.
Do that. I can barely work paint. You could do it. I can't do it. So anyway, it's just funny because that is a bass color. That is the, you know, crawdad and all that would be something you would straight out use.
That's a smallmouth color,
so
actually.
The reason I brought it up is because I agree with you. Sometimes you got to step out of the box.
Yep.
Got to get away from it.
Hots, brights, fire tiger. If you've got any fire tiger in your box, take them down there into Pine Island Sound, start throwing for trout.
I have the worst luck with fire tiger. I am just like...
Now, I think I saw some pictures of you with peacock bass on fire tiger, so don't even start.
No, that wasn't fire tiger.
Wasn't it?
No, I was using the little Rapala, but it had green and yellow, but it wasn't a fire tiger pattern.
Oh, okay.
The fire tiger has the orange belly and all that kind of stuff. But I have the worst luck with that. I'd be right next to somebody just catching one fish after the other. I could throw it all day and never catch a fish. Turn around, put something else on, and boom, and I start catching fish. I have this aura.
Right.
Something that's wrong with me.
Your aura changes the color of the lure?
Yes.
That makes perfect sense, actually.
No, it doesn't, but it happens.
No, because I know you, it makes perfect sense.
Yes. I mean, and you've been doing this, what, it's been a year or two now, hasn't it?
It's been two.
Yeah,
it's been
a couple years. One guy comes in, and he has to have that color because
it's the only color
that will work.
None of the rest.
And the guy coming in right after him, fishing the same area for the same fish, has a completely different color because it is the only one that will work.
All the time. And, you know, what I've noticed is guys will fall in love with certain colors, especially in the DOA soft plastics, and they become the color. You know, that's it. That's the only color they can have. It doesn't really matter what style of bait it is. As long as it's the holographic glow. You know, I don't care if it's the jerk bait or the curly tail or the shad, whatever it is. As long as it's holographic glow, that's what he'll buy.
Or the
that's
root
the
beer.
Only thing. Or the root beer. Yeah. Or the golden bream. Yep. You know, it's just they get so hung up on it.
Yeah, but if it works, it's fine.
Well, sure.
It's like me. I can't use fire tiger. I use colors that are close, and I... Great. As soon as I put the fire tiger on, done.
It's all about confidence. You just have no confidence in fire tiger. That's your problem.
Why must it be a fire tiger lure?
I'm still not singing.
You're still not singing? I thought it was such a
Nope, it is not happening.
Oh, yeah. I'll get him one day. Now it's a challenge. Yes, slap it. All right. You're on. All right. The gloves are out. Bam, right across the face. Okay. Let's see. Well, we've been discussing nothing for a little while here. Is there something relevant that we should be discussing?
Such as? Things that are going on now or the magic of what's happening where? What I don't. Where are you leading me here?
You're the host
of this show. Take me somewhere.
Yeah, I wish I had a lead. You know, I dropped the reins. I'm jumping from the boot of the stagecoach down onto the harnesses, trying to recapture the horses at this point. And I just am a loss.
Well, I'm not even running. I'm just going to stand still until I figure out where we're supposed to go.
Is there any good advice you have for anybody who wants to go out and try? Have you heard of any piers that are doing better than any other ones? Fishing is such a big deal.
Definitely. The Anger Pier out in Inglewood has been doing phenomenally well.
Is that?
That's the one next to the Tom Adams Bridge on Beach
Road.
Tom
Adams Bridge.
All right. Yep. Tom Adams Bridge, Anger Pier. And I've had some good reports of the Placida Pier also.
All right. What are they catching up at the Tom Adams?
They've actually been catching some pompano.
Wow.
Pretty good numbers of them from what I heard. I saw one photo of a guy who had 6, one photo of a guy who had 4. So, and they were definitely pompano, not jacks.
Gotcha. Now, on Placida, similar or different?
A lot more sheep's head out on Placida. Some whiting out there too. A few real nice black drum, not the huge gigantic ones. When I say real nice ones, I'm talking about the
18,
size that you want to eat.
22. Yeah.
The delicious size range for black drum. Yummy yummies. And a few really good snapper.
Very cool. Yeah, it's, to me, sheephead and snapper would have a hard time dying at the Placida Trestle. There's so much deep spots for them when getting a little respiratory distressing, just go a little deeper.
Right.
And pretty much avoid it, you know. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of places. I'm sure the pompano are in the same boat. There's a lot of different places for them to go. And pompano, they like to hang out on those drop-offs anyway. So.
But pompano are here, and then they're gone, and they're a runner.
Yeah.
They don't hang out in a spot. So they could have been, you know, 10 miles up the coast somewhere, and then, you know, the next day they show up there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But it's been fairly consistent out there at the Anger Pier. It's not just one guy one day catches a bunch of pompano, which is what you usually end up with. That's the report that you'll get is, oh, I caught a bunch yesterday or 4 days ago, and nobody's seen a one since then. But these were more scattered out.
Any ideas what they were doing? Bobbers?
Silly jigs.
Just the banana jigs.
Just the banana jigs. Yep.
Silly jig is the new name for a walleye jig called a banana jig. Been popular down here. When I first got down here, people, you know, it was one of the things people gave me to catch fish with, and they were banana jigs. And it turns out it was originally a walleye jig, and somebody used it down here. It worked good, and they sold great, and then they didn't sell at all for a few years, and now they're back as a big hit again.
Yep, and we discovered the magic of putting little teaser flies with them, and it seems like the teaser flies are what the pompano have been hitting rather than the jig itself, and their bycatch on that has been flounder.
Wow.
That's a good bycatch.
It's a great bycatch. Oh. All right, well, I think that's pretty good, but now, if you go on Fish and Frank's, you're actually on Fish and Frank's.
You're there right now.
Listening to it. If you go to the maps of where to go fishing and you look at the Englewood, it would be under the Englewood section. Tom Adams Pier directions show you how to get from our store right to that spot. Anything else you want to enlighten and, you know, enrich the edification of our listeners here?
You've confused me with your strange words. There were too many syllables that hit me all at once, and now I'm not sure what that meant exactly. Do you have anything else to say?
If you wanted to listen to Josh in another format where it's actually more regulated, you can listen to him on Radio Waterline Saturday mornings on 92.9.
There you go.
FM
Kicks
from
Country.
7 to 9.
Uh-huh. All right. You got that out.
He's like a real radio show host, and
if you don't happen to listen to Kicks Country or you don't want to listen from 7 to 9 in the morning, that's okay, too. You can listen at RadioWaterline.com. We just celebrated our one-year anniversary with Kicks Country, but we did shows on AM stations with iHeart for a couple years before that, and we literally have every show that we ever did all the way back to the very first one, which please don't listen to it because it's horrible and embarrassing, but every show is on our website.
The one last week or...
Not that one.
Oh, okay.
Not that one. The very first one.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I will stick this chewing gum in your hair.
There's enough hair left up there. You put chewing gum in. It's coming right out. I don't have enough hair left to worry about that. All right. Well, I think we've done enough damage for one night.
You think so?
I think so. What about you? Anything you can think of that we need to cover?
Well, we could have mentioned the magazine, too. I don't know if we ever mentioned the magazine.
We mentioned the magazine.
Waterline Magazine, which I am the publisher and editor of, and I'm always on page two. You can check that out at boatingandfishing.com. That is every Thursday published, and it's a cool local, mostly fishing, but also some other outdoors stuff that we have in there.
And if you would like to meet Josh, Saturday afternoons here at Fish and Frank's, you can come in and talk to Josh.
Right here from 2 to close.
Yep. So anyway, anything else we need to go over? Remember our new store in North Fort Myers. We're just south of Pine Island Road on Real 41, Cleveland 41, the new 41, not old 41.
Not old 41, not business
just,
41.
Nope, just the real...
Genuine, natural, normal 41.
Yeah, if you turn... right out of Fish and Frank's proper, the Fish and Frank Experience store, turn and go south, and the next turn you make is into the store. It's about 3 blocks down Pylon Road, right next to Northern Tool.
And that was only
the Inman Marine Boat Dealership.
Are we officially calling that the Fish and Frank's Boutique?
No, but that one could be, because this one ain't.
Right.
That one probably is.
Well, if this one is the experience, that one should probably be the boutique.
Yeah, I just have a couple dashes behind it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I won't be at that store, though. I'll be here in the Port Charlotte store. If you go to that store to meet me, you won't. It'll be very disappointing for
Josh
everyone involved.
Josh is part of the original Fish and Frank Experience store. You are experienced. Okay. Anyway, I appreciate you guys listening from all over the country, all over the world. And somewhere out there, there's a few thousand people listening. For that, we thank you very much. And I promise... we are working on getting more shows together, and we've got a list. As soon as we can get caught up, we're going to get on the schedule.
There you go.
Yeah, schedule for Radio Fishing.
That's so weird. It just seems so unlike you.
Yeah, I used to do it, but anyway, it's coming, boys and girls. So we will see you again very soon on Radio Fishing. Bye-bye, y'all. Say bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.